following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant in Peabody. How are you doing this morning? We are in the middle of September. Kids are back to school. Little crispness is starting to hit the air. The hint of colors appearing on the leaves, suggesting that we're transitioning to the fall. And you know what that means? That means the Topsfield Fair is coming up. That's right. Topsfield Fair coming up October 4th to October 14th. I talk about the Topsfield Fair a lot in the weeks leading up to it. That's because I have a booth at the Topsfield Fair. It's called the B'nai B'rith booth. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, Mark, what does that have to do with financial advice in a language you can understand? Well, here's why. There'll be close to 500,000 people that will walk through the gates of the Topsfield Fair. The Topsfield Fair, if you go on the day of the fair to buy your tickets and buy your parking, you are a fool, because right now, yes, today and every day leading up to the day before the fair, you can buy discounted tickets, deeply discounted tickets for admission, for parking, for rides, and even for food. That is right. You can buy discounted food vouchers. Why people wait till the very last minute and then complain, oh my goodness, it's so expensive to go to the fair. Well, that is poor planning, folks. You can plan better. Financial advice in a language you can understand says that if you're listening to this show right now, if you live on the North Shore, if you live in the Merrimack Valley, if you live in the southern New Hampshire area, you are a hop, skip, and a jump from the main entrance, the ticket booth at the Topsfield Fair. Go there right now. They're open as we speak. They are open selling those discounted ride tickets, admission tickets, parking tickets, food tickets, concert tickets. I understand Creedence Clearwater Revival is coming. You want to get tickets for that? They have tickets available as well. The Topsfield Fair is a wonderful family-focused event. We have a booth there. My wife and I run what's called the B'nai B'rith booth, which has been there for 50 years, 50-plus years. At the fair, we serve everything from hot dogs to hot pastrami to brisket to matzo ball soup to knishes to chicken fingers and french fries and all the good stuff that you'd expect to find at a fair. We call it Jewish Fair at the Topsfield Fair. And from a financial advice in a language you can understand situation, think about this. Everybody loves to get a hot dog at the fair. When you get a hot dog, the traditional hot dogs that you find at any fair are generally 2-ounce hot dogs. They're the traditional 2-ounce hot dogs. And what would you pay for a hot dog at the fair? $3, $4, $5. What would you expect to pay? For a regular hot dog, maybe $10. I don't know. What would you expect to pay? Well, get this. At the Topsfield Fair booth, at our B'nai B'rith booth, we sell more than 3,000 quarter-pound hot dogs. Those are 4-ounce hot dogs, not those wimpy 2-ounce hot dogs. 4-ounce all-beef hot dogs for $4. Now, you won't find a better value, and that's why there's always a line at our booth, because we know you can get a great deal at the fair at our booth. So please swing by. If you're listening to the show, if you happen to be a listener to the show, and you come by during the fair, and you ask for either myself or my wife, Laura, one of us are always there at the fair, and you say, hey, I listen to Dollars and Cents on North Shore 104.9, we have a special treat for you. So don't be shy. Go up to the window, ask, and we'll take good care of you. So that's one of the things that's going on. Another thing that I wanted to talk to you about today was something that happened very interesting this week. On Wednesday of this week was September 11th. And many of you remember September 11th. Everybody kind of knows where they were on September 11th. Many people will tell you, I know where I was when JFK was assassinated. I'll tell you, I don't remember where I was because, frankly, I wasn't born yet. And I had that instance happen to me on Wednesday. Wednesday, I was invited to Town Hall in North Andover where they had a 9/11 ceremony, a brief ceremony, about 10 or 15 minutes. And they had invited my son, Noah, who's a senior at the high school, to sing the national anthem and to sing God Bless America at the end of the ceremony. As many of you know, Noah is a very talented performer. In fact, oftentimes you've seen him performing at Smolak Farms, on the Peach Festivals, the Apple Festivals, all those kind of festivals. He performs acoustic guitar up there. They asked him to sing at the town hall thing. And as I watched the 50 to 100 people or so that were there listening to the stories of 9/11, they had a few prayers that were offered, some moments of silence, some reflections. And I watched my son as he delivered the Star Spangled Banner and America the Beautiful, or God Bless America. I'm not sure which one he did at the end. You could see, you know, it was emotional for a lot of people. And many people still think about that day and the impact it had and how September 12th became that rallying day for patriotism and being an American and how strong we felt with each other. But it also was a reminder to me that Noah is 17 years old. He doesn't know that day. He doesn't know the emotion, the memory, the impact, the images that were emblazoned in our minds of what happened that day. And it made me think about how people think to my generation, where I don't remember the day that JFK was assassinated. And how do we keep those memories alive? What do we do? How do we make those moments in time last forever? I know that there's some legislation that's being circulated about making 9/11 part of our traditional history lessons in the schools. But it also made me think about how we as adults think about the lessons that have been made such an impact on our lives and the way we think about money, and how our children and the next generations don't remember anything about it. Some of you will still remember the days of the Depression, the days when it felt like the world was coming to an end. There were bread lines. There were times when you just simply didn't have any money. Poverty was a popular term for a lot of folks in America. And many people, those in their 70s, in their 80s, in their 90s, still think back to those days. The late 1920s. Actually, you were actually in the 80s or the 90s, but you were brought up. You were brought up in that generation with your family telling you the stories. And people are so cautious and so scared about how they use their precious resources in a time like today, where the stock market is an all-time high. There's all these concerns about what could happen if North Korea were to strike, if there were a cyber attack, if our president tweeted something that made people feel so uncomfortable that the world would come to an end. And I'm using that in quotation marks there. There is a generation that lives in continual fear, despite the fact that they have more than adequate resources to protect them and to give them the ability to support their lives throughout their financial life, to support generations to come. How many generations still think of, oh my goodness, when I retire, I want to live off my income. Because think about back in the 1970s, the 1980s, you could comfortably live off your income. You could live off the interest that you collected on your CDs. You could live off savings bond interest. Remember, people would buy savings bonds like crazy in the 70s and the 80s. That's because the value of a savings bond, you'd buy a $100 savings bond, you pay $50 for it, you'd say, oh, no problem, it'll double to $100 in 7 years. Well, folks, that doesn't happen anymore. And if you still think that that's what savings bonds do, there's a lesson to learn here. That's simply not going to happen. In fact, savings bonds, you know how long it takes for a savings bond to double? Do you know how long it takes? You want to go buy a $100 savings bond, a $200 savings bond. You want, let's say you want to buy a $100 savings bond and give it to somebody when they're born because you say, well, hey, I'll buy you a $100 savings bond. It'll cost me $50. And here you can have it because this will be great money for you to have when it's time for you to go to college. 18 years away, right? For sure, it'll double by then. Maybe it'll double even again the way that it used to work back in the 1980s. Well, folks, it takes 20 years. 20 years for a savings bond to double. Why would anybody buy a savings bond that takes 20 years to double? It's something to think about. The way we've been brought up and those lessons that we've instilled in our heads, and we say, well, this is what I remember. This is what makes me psychologically think about the way I'm going to handle money. And then we try to impose those stories and those values to the next generation and the generation thereafter, and they look to us like we are nuts. And you know what? In many cases, we are. We really are. We're living in a world that doesn't exist. We're living in a world that existed back then, but looks nothing like what it is today. Are we likely to go back, unwind ourselves back to the 1920s, the 1930s, the 1940s? Absolutely not. We will have changes. We will have waves and hills and valleys in what we deal with in our life, in our lifetime, within the markets. But folks, we've got a plan to move forward. We need to think differently. We need to think about what the future of our finances look like as we build our retirement, as we think about our children's retirement and how we plan for the future. That's what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. We do it here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on North Show 104.9. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I want to share a letter that we just put out to our clients this past week. It's called Our Economic Outlook for the Rest of the Year. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2019 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, about your retirement planning, I'd encourage you to give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. If you want to learn a little bit more about Friedman Financial, what we do, how we work with our clients, I'd encourage you to visit our website. It's friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on our website, and you can sign up for our free newsletter that comes out each and every Friday. Or one of the things that you might really like is a section on our website that talks about the different types of clients that we focus our attention on. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. But today, or during this segment, I thought I would share with you a letter that we put out to our clients this past week. It's our letter that we call Our Economic Outlook for the Rest of the Year. Nothing fancy in the title. That's just what it is. Look, we're in the final third of the year. And if you turn on the TV these days, you look at what the talking heads have to say, you check your social media feeds, you go to Facebook, you go to LinkedIn, you go to CNBC or Bloomberg, or wherever you go to get your information on what's going on in the markets, you might think that the market is having a terrible year, that the market is having a great year. You just don't know, depending upon the way you look at stuff. Well, the reality is, folks, is that for the year, the market is doing tremendous. Tremendous. Though you would not think about it that way if you were to look at your statements. If you were to look at the portfolios in general that you've put together, whether it's through your 401k, through personal IRA accounts, an investment account, whatever it is, you might say, I don't feel like it's doing that great. And that's because, in many cases, we tend to forget that when we look at our performance on a one-year basis, and nobody should really be looking at the performance of their accounts on a year-to-date basis. That's kind of silly. Even 1 year is kind of too short-term. But when you're looking at performance numbers, usually the one-year rolling number is what people are looking at. We forget that we started 1 year ago in October to December where the market dropped almost 20%. So despite the fact that the stock market might be up almost as much as that, if not more, when you balance it all out, it's about even for the year. So when the talking heads start talking about the market hitting an all-time high or markets having a tough year or Trump doing this or North Korea doing that or Argentina or whatever country is your favorite country to pick on these days, you're doing okay. So we wanted to kind of tie that back and bring that reality check back to our clients so that they understood what was truly going on. And I thought, frankly, to make it very simple, I'm going to read this letter to you. I'm going to read the letter that we sent out to our clients, which isn't very long. When we send out communications to our clients, and we do this regularly, one way that we send out communications, of course, is through our weekly newsletter called Planning Pointers. If you'd like to receive that, it lands in your inbox every Friday morning at 10:30. All you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on the website. Put in your name, your email address. Let us know how you heard about us. And then if you want to have some comments, you have a question for me, anything you want to put in the comment section or nothing at all, that's okay. But if you do have a question, please know I respond to every single one of them. And I assure you, you will get a response back to those posts that you put in there within 24 hours. If you don't put anything in there, and you don't want a response back, that's okay too. I'm not going to call you. I'm not going to bug you. You're simply going to be signed up for the newsletter. You can read it. It's financial advice in a language you can understand. We talk about little tidbits of information. It can be anything from what's going on in the markets to whether you should buy or lease a car, whether you should consider buying a place in Florida or renting a place in Florida. Maybe it has something to do with college finances or how you spend your money or whatever it is. It's little tidbits of advice that talk about financial advice in a language you can understand. So let me share this economic outlook with you. That we've sent out to our clients this past week. We call it the economic outlook for the rest of the year. And here's how it goes. With Labor Day in the rearview mirror, the kids are back at school, and those who make their livelihood in the financial markets have returned from summer vacation. It's a time where trading volume increases, corporate budget meetings ensue, and year-round planning occurs at a frantic pace. It's a recipe for increased volatility, political posturing, and outrageous predictions. And that's what we're hearing today. Despite what the headlines suggest, the stock market, as measured by the S&P 500, is not struggling this year. In fact, the index that represents the 500 largest companies in the United States is up over 20% as of the 5th of September. Many other major indices are delivering positive year-to-date returns, including the international and emerging market indexes. But how quickly we forget. It was less than 1 year ago, the fourth quarter of 2018, when economic sentiment was challenging. The S&P 500 dropped close to 20% in less than 3 months. But almost as quickly as the markets dropped, so too did they recover. It's not surprising that investors are uncomfortable with short-term performance. Look, there are some market challenges, and there are some global challenges. They include uncertain trade tariffs with China, a slowdown in Europe, and the indeterminate direction of interest rates. The stock market doesn't like uncertainty. In fact, it's among the primary factors that drive its daily movement. However, each time we've experienced a sharp market decline, it has always staged a quick recovery. It's a wonderful reminder that you should keep your eyes on the horizon and not the ripples of the ocean. But good news does continue. Consumer spending, what you and I spend money on, represents 68% of the U.S. economy. Americans are spending money like crazy. We're paying for convenience so that we can have more time for experiences. Thank you, Amazon. Unemployment continues to hover at an all-time low. In fact, some studies suggest that there are more jobs available than there are people who can fill them. Declining interest rates have lowered the cost of borrowing money for a mortgage or a business loan. And lastly, productivity in America is up, way up. When it comes to global financial policies, we can point to even more optimism. The Federal Reserve in the United States and the European Central Bank have both been very clear that they will pursue policies that will continue to promote economic growth. All of this bodes well for the stock market and your overall portfolio. Look, market volatility is as normal as the New England seasons. They are expected, but sometimes they sneak in with periodic climate surprises. Your portfolio is positioned to weather market cycles. We continue to monitor the investments in your accounts with consideration for the impact they have on your overall financial plan. Friedman Financial continues to remain very optimistic about the long-term success of our economy and your portfolio. As always, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us. And that's a letter that was signed by both myself and my business partner, Marion. That's our outlook for the rest of the year and beyond. That's what we're thinking. We are optimistic. We are very optimistic. And I hope you realize that the idea of building a portfolio where someone says we need to build it based upon an asset allocation strategy. We're going to put some money in stocks. We're going to put some money in bonds. We're going to put some money in large cap, small cap, mid cap, international, emerging markets, short-term bonds, mid-term bonds, high-quality bonds, low-quality bonds, all that kind of stuff. It makes sense. We're diversifying. We're reducing and limiting and managing our risk. It's very important. Trying to chase the next Yahoo, or actually, I can't even believe I said Yahoo. Yahoo is so far out of the picture now. But the next Facebook or Amazon or Apple or even Tesla or one of these, Microsoft. You know, I think Microsoft's one of those interesting companies that people seem to absolutely forget about. They are a powerhouse of a company, probably one of the top three largest companies in the world. Yet when you're watching CNBC, when's the last time a broadcaster talked about Microsoft? They're talking about Amazon or Facebook or Netflix or Google. Microsoft is just an amazingly large company. Now, it's not to say that I'm endorsing Microsoft or any of these companies. Frankly, as you well know, if you listen to this show, I don't endorse any individual stock holdings. Not my game, and I don't think it should be the game of any individual investor. Leave that to the pros, folks. Buying individual stocks is dangerous, is risky, and stock prices move for reasons unbeknownst to you. We have to have rationale. We have to have an understanding of why we're investing. And the investment strategy has to be aligned to our goals, not to say, oh, well, I'll buy this stock with hopes that it'll go up 20% to 30% and then I'll sell it. Well, the reality is, folks, when you buy an individual stock, history suggests this over and over and over and over and over again. When people buy individual stocks and they go up, nobody wants to sell them. But when they drop big time, everybody wants to sell them. Is that the right strategy? I thought we were supposed to buy low and sell high, but the average investor sentiment suggests just the opposite. You see, when you buy into a mutual fund or an exchange-traded fund, an index fund, when you hire professional money managers to build a strategy, to build a portfolio that's built with a collection of stocks or bonds or whatever, or a collection thereof, there is a lot more discipline built into the investment strategy. A portfolio manager has millions, hundreds, sometimes billions of dollars in their portfolio. And if they're going to go buy a stock, they're not buying 100 shares. They may be buying 1 million shares. Yeah, really. They may be buying 1 million shares. And do you think they just say, looks like XYZ stock's trading at 25 today. I think I'll buy it at 25. Just for the heck of it. No, they've got a plan. They have a strategy. They know what they're doing. They have a sell discipline and a buy discipline. They're hopping on planes and visiting the companies, talking to management, talking to the C-suite, talking to the people that have boots on the ground and are using their products to see, does this stock have legs? Does the product that they produce, the service that they offer, does it have stamina and the ability to be a great company? Not a company that's good for today, but a great company for the long term. That's how I would want to be building my portfolio, leveraging some of the smartest people in the business, not some person that says, hey, I can pick stocks better than the next guy. That's what a stockbroker says that they can do. Sometimes they're lucky, and other times they miss it. I don't want our clients. I don't think you should be spending your time in that speculative world. Let's allow portfolio managers, people that are managing mutual funds, companies that are managing exchange-traded funds or index funds, build a diversified portfolio that's reflective of a strategy that you want to achieve, but limits your risk, gives you liquidity, gives you daily pricing. That's important. The diversification is key. And as many of you know, a portfolio consists oftentimes of more than one investment. Not one stock, but more than one mutual fund, more than one exchange-traded fund, a collection of them. And when you buy, some people say, well, I got, 14, 15 stocks in my portfolio. Is that diversification? Well, if you own 14, 20, 30 stocks that are all comprised of the S&P 500, let's say it's anything from McDonald's to Pepsi to Coca-Cola to Bank of America to Microsoft to Amazon to Google to Caterpillar to Johnson & Johnson, all of those different companies. Do you have a diversified portfolio? You might have a diversified portfolio of sectors, but you have a portfolio that is still all-inclusive within the S&P 500. And when you watch the news and you hear the commentator say, the S&P was up today, the S&P was down today, that means your stock portfolio probably moved in that direction. You want to have more than just S&P 500 stocks in your portfolio. And that's why we encourage you to look at mutual funds, to build an asset allocation strategy that includes large cap and small cap, mid cap funds, growth, value, international, developed markets, bond funds that are high quality, low quality, short term, intermediate, a whole combination of different types of fixed income securities. You need that, but oftentimes you need the help of an advisor to guide you along the way. And that advice needs to be weaved into the overall financial story, understanding where you stand financially, what you're all about. Well, perhaps you're at a different stage in your life. Everybody's at a different stage. When we get back, I want to share with you some stories about the different types of clients that a firm like Friedman Financial sees. There's all different types. We've got five that we focus on. We're going to talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has provided financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore. At Friedman Financial, we know that planning for your retirement is overwhelming. Don't leave this important decision to chance, or even worse, the algorithms of a faceless technology solution. Our certified financial planner professionals meet with you face-to-face to know you and your retirement goals. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, meet with a certified financial planner at Friedman Financial in person. You deserve a strategy that incorporates every aspect of your retirement plan. To learn more, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, where we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families living on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area since 1968. No, not me. I was two then. My father started the firm back then. Actually, he was one of the first financial planners in this country. Yeah, it seems kind of odd. Just only 50 years ago is when there was financial planning. Look, everybody tried to do their own financial planning before that, but the need for it became even greater as we entered the 60s and the 70s, when all of a sudden, the government wasn't taking care of us anymore. We all weren't working for big companies where there was a pension that provided us some assurances. We all of a sudden began to start thinking about lifestyles where we wanted to spend money independently and differently. It seemed back in the 40s and the 50s, everybody kind of did the same thing. You know, you lived in your community. Everybody spent money the same way. We all ate at the same restaurants. We all had the same things for dinner. We all had the same activities outside in our neighborhood. We all did a lot of the same stuff. But today, you look around, you just even look around your street. How likely is it that you even know the people who live on your street? Think about this. When houses are built today, how many houses have a front porch? Old houses, you know, you drive around these homes from, you know, in years ago and decades ago, they were built with a front porch so people could hang out and chat with their neighbors as they went by. People would hang out on the front porch. Who hangs out on their front porch these days and hangs out and talks with the neighbors? Well, we don't, because we don't even have front porches. How many kids go out and play in the neighborhood? I knew when I was growing up in the 70s, I lived in a circle. It was Hughes Circle in Peabody, Massachusetts. And there were 15 boys, absolutely 15 boys, that lived on our circle. And every night, we would be out on the circle playing kick the can, a kickball game, a wiffle ball game, a hide and seek game, whatever it was. That stuff just doesn't happen anymore. We have, but I'm not saying it's bad. Now, some will say, oh, we got to bring back those days. I don't know that it's bad. It was different. The way our kids communicate today is different. I'll go downstairs in my basement now, in the playroom, as we call it, and I'll find Corey, my 16-year-old son, talking to three other people. And I look, and but the other three other people aren't there. They're not in the playroom. And I'm going, Corey, who are you talking to? Well, we're all playing a video game. And they're all on, they have a speaker that's going on. They're all talking to each other. They're all sitting in their own homes. And they're all playing some video game. It's different. Our kids are interacting. Our kids are talking. They're just communicating differently. Was our way a better way? Some will say, absolutely, yes. It was the only way. Well, you know, what do you think the generations before us said about the way we were communicating? Everything's different. And I think one of the things that we need to embrace is the fact that each generation finds their own groove. And that groove works for them. It works to connect with the society that they live in today. I always tell the story about how I was at North Andover High School teaching one of the personal finance classes. It's an elective that they offer for juniors and seniors there. And once a trimester, they invite me to come in and offer a real-life perspective on the world. And the first class I went to, my son Jerry was in the class at the time, and there's this kid sitting in the class, and he's on his phone. And I'm like so insulted. But you got to be careful these days, right? You know, you say something wrong. I mean, I could get booted. Some parent's going to say, can you believe what Mr. Friedman said? So I'm going through my thing. I'm talking to the kids about the cost of things, real life cost of things. What it costs to move out of the house, stuff like that. And this kid is like texting like crazy on his phone. And finally, I can't stand it anymore. So I said to the kid, excuse me. I said, could you please put your phone away? I said, I'm trying to grab the attention of everybody here in the classroom, and all I see is you texting on your phone. He says, but Mr. Friedman, I'm taking notes. I said, come on, you're not taking notes. You know you're texting somebody. And he turns his phone around, and this kid has been feverishly taking notes on his phone about what I've been saying. I was humbled. I was very humbled because the way that our kids, I learned Jerry says to me that night, he says, Dad, I write my essays on my phone. Really? I was amazed at how few kids rely on a laptop computer in the high school. They prefer to just do everything on their phone. because Google Docs allows them to do all this stuff. So it was a learning for me. We need to, and I'm not saying that what they're doing is wrong. I used to be all bent out of shape with my son, Jerry, that I said, how can the schools be teaching you on Google Docs and all these Google platforms when in real life, it's about Microsoft Word and Microsoft Excel? Well, the answer back then was, well, Google is free and Microsoft costs money. But in the real world, as many of you know, many of us use Microsoft Word. However, what I've learned is over time, that's evolved as well. More and more firms are adapting to the word processing platform that exists with Apple. And I think it's, I forget what it's called, Pages, and there's Keynote and all those kinds of things. There's the Google applications that are free. So Microsoft still is the leader for sure. But what I thought was the way that it would be forever is changing. When I went to college, they introduced this thing called Microsoft Word. And I think we had Microsoft Word, and then we had not Excel, but Lotus 1-2-3. Right? Who would, and Lotus was the spreadsheet. Who would ever think that Lotus would go away in favor of Excel? Things change. And that's, it's just a reminder to me as a parent that the way we think things should be are going to evolve and they're going to change. And we need to be a little bit more open. We need to be more open in having that conversation with folks rather than digging our heels in and saying, this is the way. And I know I'm kind of going off the subject of what I was going to talk about here for a minute, but it makes me think about the conversations that I've been having with my kids who have been coming home from school. And Corey and Noah have been struggling with some of the conversations that they have in these debating classes. Oh, these classes where a teacher in the English class, in a U.S. history class, whatever, will raise an issue and then post it up for conversation. Yet the conversation is biased, frankly, in one direction. And my son, Corey in particular, is finding that the bias is oftentimes supported by the vast majority of the students on the perspective that the teacher is sharing. And he's not so sure that the kids are supporting it more so than the fact that they're uncomfortable taking another position. And so when Corey brings up another viewpoint on that, he gets ambushed from the teacher and from the students. And it's making him begin to feel uncomfortable. And it makes me begin to think about how much are we spending in our schools and even in our own personal dialogue of trying to really respect the opinions of others, in trying to say there is good intent coming from all sides here. We're just not opening our ears to all of it. We are shutting our ears to many different perspectives that are out there. And I'm not saying that my perspective is right, nor is yours completely right. There is probably something in the middle that works here. But if we're closing our ears and absolutely ignoring the other side before we're willing to have that conversation and say, you know, tell me a little bit more about this. I'm not quite sure I understand your opinion. Maybe you can share a little bit more. And then not feel insulted when someone says to you, hey, I'm not quite sure I understand what you're saying here. Maybe you can add some more flavor, a little bit more context to this. And frankly, that's what we do in financial planning meetings too. Because oftentimes when people come to our office, they have this bias about what financial planning, what retirement, what life after work will look like. And that bias is based upon what their friends told them, what their parents told them, what they read about, what they heard about, what they see as sound bites on television commercials. And it's my job to help them understand that there's something that's bigger than just a cliche or some statement that rolls out. It's up to us to navigate the dialogue so that we're clear in what it is that you want, what it is that you need. Because when I say to you, tell me, what does retirement look like to you? Think about that question. When you say, I want to retire, what does retirement mean to you? Does retirement mean I'm quitting my job and I'm going to rock on a chair on the, I guess now back porch, because there are no more front porches, the back porch, drink some lemonade and do some needlepoint? That's what retirement looked like. Certainly, if you watch a lot of movies, right? A lot of the older movies, that's what retirement was, right? You go to your retirement party. You work for a company for 40 years. They have a retirement party. You get a gold watch. Then you and your spouse go on a cruise, the Love Boat, right? That's what the whole Love Boat was built on. You go on the cruise. They throw the confetti. You have a wonderful time. You celebrate. You dance. You live life for a week. And then you settle back to the house with some lemonade and knitting an Afghan. And you watch the world go by and the kids come to visit for the holidays. And then you die. I got to believe that retirement looks a little bit different for many people, and each person's description and vision of retirement is different. You know why? Because we're all expected to live a lot longer than the folks did who began to get shown pictures in the Love Boat and the generations before that. Life expectancy today is going to be well into your 80s, perhaps even your 90s. In fact, did you know this? That 60% of all people who have ever lived beyond the age of 80 are alive right now. Think about that. 2,000 years. We've been around 2,000 years. And 60% of all people who have ever lived to the age of 80 are living right now. Retirement doesn't end 10 years after age 65. There'll be many people who will live well into their hundreds. What will we do? Those are 8,000 days. 8,000 days, by the way, from 65 to 83. 8,000 days, and you're likely to live more than that. What if you had 16,000 days? What will you do with all of those days? How will you live life differently? So when we talk about retirement, I want you to begin thinking about that. And oftentimes, that is too big of a vision to have, because if I asked you at 40, what do the next 20 years look like for you? You got a lot of things that you can specifically think of that you will be hitting as milestones. My kids will start getting ready for college, or maybe I'm going to be having children early on. Maybe I got to start planning for a kid's education. Maybe I want to buy a second home. Maybe I'll be transitioning jobs. Maybe I'm going to have to care for mom or dad because they're going to start to age. Well, now all of a sudden, advance that now to age 65 or 70. What are all the things that you can ratchet off that are big time expenses and big time projects that you have to worry and think about? And probably not that many. Yet we worry so much about retirement because you have to think about, what am I going to do? How are you going to plan for that? If you say, I want a vacation, what's that vacation going to look like? How are you going to plan for that? I want to spend more time with the kids. Well, what if they don't want to spend time with you? You know, maybe they do. But maybe they don't want to spend as much time as you want to spend with them. Unless, of course, you need to provide daycare. That's a whole nother story. Or you're retiring so you could provide the daycare to your adult children's kids. Lots of questions. When we sit down for a financial planning conversation, we got to say, what are the things that you want to do, that you imagine having to do and then want to do, and what are the things that you hope you could do? And can you afford them? How do you facilitate all of that? That is not about whether you should be buying large cap growth or large cap value or stocks or bonds or mutual funds or exchange traded funds. That is a whole nother conversation. And frankly, those conversations happen well after we've had the goals conversation, the personal objectives conversation, and understanding where you are financially. But at every stage in our lives, we're faced with different things. And at our office, we deal with five different segments of clients. The five segments that we focus our attention on are a group that are called either the accumulator, the pre-retiree, the seasoned retiree, the new retiree, I went backwards there, and the survivors. Let me do those again. We either have the accumulator, the pre-retiree, the new retiree, the seasoned retiree, and the survivor. Each of those categories are distinctly different. And the needs within each of those categories are different as well. I want to give you an illustration of what each of those categories look like. But we're out of time for this segment. We're going to get back to talking about those things in our very next segment. Coming up next, we got to take a quick break. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Bye. Yes! Action!
North Shore Music Theater is proud to present Andrew Lloyd Webber's masterpiece, Sunset Boulevard.
I'm ready for my close-up.
Starring Tony Award winner Alice Ripley. Miss this haunting tale of the once famous movie star Norma Desmond as she attempts a bold return to the silver screen.
It's the pictures that got small.
Though her fame has faded, her ambition has not.
Everything's as if we never said goodbye.
Step into Norma's extravagant Hollywood fantasy as she attempts to seize the opportunity to restore her career to its former glory. Don't miss Sunset Boulevard, September 24th through October 6th. At Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater. For tickets, visit nsmt.org. Sponsored by Iron Tree Service.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. You just heard an ad for the North Shore Music Theater. Sunset Boulevard coming here to the Music Theater. I can't wait to see that show. Frankly, I can't wait to see it because I've never seen it. I don't know anything about the story, to tell you the truth, but Bill Haney has told me that it is one of his favorite musicals. So I trust Bill's advice. He's done some pretty cool stuff over there. If you hadn't seen, I hope you had a chance to see Jersey Boys. They extended it for 4 weeks. 4 weeks at the Music Theater is a long time for a show to be there. And what a tremendous cast they had. Stage design, music was unbelievable. They got a great lineup coming for next year, but still some great shows to continue for the rest of this year. Sunset Boulevard is here. Next up is The Bodyguard, and then of course at around Christmas time is The Christmas Carol, starring David Coffey for, I don't know, the 216th year. David just has been here forever. I mean, I always think of David Coffey doing the Christmas Carol. So we're excited about that. We've always been a big sponsor of the North Shore Music Theater. We host their Broadway Club. Frankly, I think it is the best add-on purchase you can get for any type of subscription service. You buy the add-on for the Broadway Club. Folks, I don't make any money on this, nothing whatsoever. We sponsor it. I actually pay to be there. But I'll tell you, here's the coolest things about Broadway Club access. Number one, it includes a parking pass. Love that. Number two, access to the Broadway Club, where you can go in before the show and during intermission, where they have nice, comfortable seating, a beautiful cabaret-type setting room with tables. There's snacks there for you to help yourself to. No, there's no snacks to pay for there. They just have it out on the table. Help yourself. Have some snacks. There is a bar. There's water. There's coffee as well. The bar that's there, which is really cool, you go in before the show, and you say to Irene or one of the other bartenders that are there, say, hey, I'd like to get 4 gin and tonics, whatever it is. And Irene will set up a table for you in the Broadway Club. So after the end of the first act, you go into the Broadway Club, you show them your ticket, you sit down at the table, there's drinks sitting there for you, your name's on it, you help yourself to some appetizers. Actually, I should call them snacks. They're really not appetizers. To snacks. And hang out for 15 minutes. And then head back to the theater. But here's the real reason. This is the number one reason. The real, real honest-to-goodness reason why people want to be members of the Broadway Club. No line at the bathroom. Seriously, no line at the bathroom. It is the best reason to be a member of the Broadway Club. You head on over there. The bathroom's clean. It's nice. It's beautiful. And it's just really nice. So anyways, perhaps I'll see you over there. Anyways, I promised you that I would talk about the 5 different types of clients that we see at Friedman Financial. And they fall into these 5 distinct categories. Now, there are hundreds, probably thousands of different categories. These are the ones we focus on. The one that we spend the most time on, I would say, is the new retiree. 65% of our clients are either just about to embark on retirement or they're in retirement. So let me give you a little sense, and this is right on my website. If you go to FriedmanFinancial.com, that's Friedman, 2 E's and a D, financial.com, go to our website, you will find a tab that says who we serve, and you'll see these 5 categories. There are videos, there's supporting material, there's all sorts of stuff. But let me see if this sounds like you. You're a little unsure as to how much you can really afford to do as you approach retirement. Creating a smart income strategy would help reduce those butterflies. You need advice on how best to leverage the money you've accumulated and how it needs to support your lifestyle for the next 30 years or more. Here are a few things that might keep you up at night. How do I incorporate my Social Security and pension income into the income that I need? How do I create income from the assets I've accumulated? How do I minimize taxes? Should I work part-time in case I run out of money? And can I give money away and still have enough in retirement? When I say give money away, give money to the kids, give money to charity, whatever it might be. Can I afford to stay in my house or do I need to downsize? Can I afford a vacation home and enjoy winters in a better climate? And what are all the rules on taking money from my retirement accounts? I would guess that if you're approaching retirement, those are some of the key and critical questions that you're asking yourself. If you are, I'd love to talk with you. Our phone number at the office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108 to schedule a free initial consultation in our office. Those meetings last about an hour. If you want to call us beforehand and talk it through with me, I'd be happy to spend a few minutes on the phone with you at no cost either, just to see whether what you're thinking makes sense, whether we're a good fit for you, whether you're a good fit for us. Give our office a call, 978-531-8108. Let me describe the other four categories of folks that spend a lot of time working with us. One is somebody that we call the accumulator. But this is a specific niche within the space of those that are saving for the future. The accumulator is at the peak earning years. You're busy raising a family. Your life is busy. Your retirement plan deserves more attention because it's not that far off. You know that college costs are looming. You're facing more responsibility at work, and you wish you had more time in your day. You don't have as much time as you'd like. You know it's time to entrust major money decisions to a team who will provide guidance and advice on strategies and develop tailored solutions built around your needs. What keeps the accumulator up at night? Some of the things that might be going through the accumulator's head: I have a good job, but am I saving enough for my future? I don't have time to manage all the financial stuff in my life, and my financial situation is starting to get complex. I need professional and personal advice, but I need to find someone that will look at the big picture of my life, not just one thing at a time. You're also starting to think, do I need to start worrying about my parents a little bit? I wonder if I'll need to support them. And then, of course, is college. College tuition is expensive. What's the best way to fund these costs? Those are questions that the accumulator thinks about. That next group that we talk about is a group that we call the pre-retiree. This is the group of folks that are probably, 58 to 65, just starting to think about, oh my goodness, where did all the time go? I'm going to be retiring pretty darn soon. Now it's time to focus on you. Retirement is drawing near. You've worked hard, saved, raised a family, and did everything you were supposed to do. But as the end of a regular paycheck approaches, you're feeling increasingly careful with your money. You want to be prepared as best you can be. You want to find better ways to replace your paycheck through some kind of an income strategy that doesn't handcuff you, but allows you to learn how to stretch your dollars and your investments into a long-term retirement plan. Here are some of the things that might keep the pre-retiree up at night. How will I replace my income in retirement? I've got stuff all over the place, accounts all over the place. Should I consolidate? Am I taking too much risk with my investments? Or perhaps I should be taking more. How much can I spend in retirement? And how long do I think I'm going to live? Mom and Dad might have had a longevity, or maybe Mom and Dad died early. What will that mean for me? How can I be sure I can really afford to retire? And what will healthcare cost? I've heard all these stories. I've seen these television commercials that say healthcare is going to be outrageously expensive. What should I do? How do I choose the best time to take Social Security? When should I sign up, and what program should I take for Medicare? Lots of questions to ask. These are key questions that are on the minds of what I call the pre-retiree. If now's the time to begin consolidating, if now's the time to begin having those conversations, we would love to talk with you. Give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Call the office. Leave a message. Let me talk you through it. I'll let you know whether you'd be a good fit for our office or if you wouldn't. And if you're not a great fit, perhaps I can refer you to the right person to give you that guidance. But then let's look at the fourth category, the fourth group of folks. These are folks who I call the seasoned retiree. You're 10 years or more into retirement, and you know what? This is going pretty good. You're enjoying it. But you're also beginning to look further towards the future. You know the coming years will be full of both opportunities and challenges. How will you maximize your best years and prepare for the unexpected? So you wonder what keeps the seasoned retiree up at night? How about these items? How do I optimize my life now and the family experiences as I age? Do I have my financial house in order? Do I need to downsize? Is it a reality that I really need to look at? Is it getting tough walking up and down those stairs to do the laundry or to bring groceries in from the garage that's two levels away? Is my estate plan in order? And then the big question, and this is the big one that a lot of people talk to us about. Who will my spouse turn to and trust with financial stuff when I'm gone? I will tell you that is one of the biggest reasons that this group, the group I call the seasoned retiree, looks to a firm like ours for. They worry. They worry, how will we be able to continue with spending the money we spend it, making financial decisions appropriately, when perhaps the person who makes the primary financial decisions in the household isn't around? Do we want to leave that burden on our children, on a particular child? Or do we want to integrate somebody that understands our thoughts, our culture, our strategy, our approach towards living in retirement, and not what our kids think our retirement should look like? There is a huge, huge difference. Let me ask you, would you want your parents, or would you think your parents would have wanted you to guide them on the way they should live their retirement? Perhaps not. And then, of course, there's the final group. And that group is called the survivor. Now it's just you. You're feeling overwhelmed. You feel pressure to make decisions. And you have questions about what to do next. Perhaps you relied on a spouse or a partner for financial planning and investment management advice. But now you're alone. You have limited experiences and doubts about who will place your interests first. You're eager for trusted, easy-to-understand advice and clear guidance as you adjust. And as you lay alone in bed, wondering what's next, you think, how might Social Security and pension change now that my spouse is gone? Do I have enough money or am I going to run out? Do I need to sell the house? Can I still afford to leave a legacy to the kids? Who is going to help me make sound financial decisions and place my financial interests first? Who should I rely on? Family? Friends? Or perhaps a certified financial planner? All good questions, all good thoughts, worries that each segment has. At Friedman Financial, we've been doing this for 53 years. We are here and ready to provide you the advice that you need, no matter the category, no matter the stage of life that you're in. We're ready. When the time is right, give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. What we've done today is what's called financial advice in a language you can understand. I'll be back again next Sunday with more of it. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.